Thank you so much for joining us today at our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
In this series, Foundations, we've been talking about building your life from the bottom up. And we're talking about how to build foundational practices in your life, foundational belief systems in your life, things that are foundational to you growing and having a solid, grounded Christian life. And so that's why we're calling it Foundations, because it's the very foundations of what you need in order to be a Christian, to really follow Jesus wholeheartedly with your life. And so it's so important, again, as I've been mentioning, that you can build a giant, beautiful building, but if the foundation is not properly laid, you will have problems with the building. And if you don't tend to the foundation when you realize that the foundation is in trouble, it's just a matter of time before the building comes collapsing down. So that's why it's imperative that we talk about foundations, that you lay a healthy foundation. So we began this series looking at the early church, the very beginning of the church, in the book of Acts, when the apostle Peter got up and he preached the gospel, and over 3,000 people were born again in that moment. And this new thing, completely new to the earth, was birth. And it was called the Church of Jesus Christ. And so we're looking at and responding to, what did these people do? How did they live their lives? When they heard the gospel, what changed in their life? What practices did they set up? Because they were able to, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and with these biblical foundations in their lives, they were able to withstand challenges. This church was persecuted. This church was hunted down. Yet this church stayed faithful to Jesus. So we're looking at, what is it that grounded these people? That's the foundations that we're talking about in this series. And so this morning's foundation is a very, very important one. And I would go as far as to say, in the first two foundations we talked about prayer, right? The intimacy with you and Jesus, making sure that is intact. We talked about the Word of God, making sure that you have a healthy diet of the Word of God so that it can renew your mind, so that it can transform you, and how, even practical tips on how to do that. But this foundation in particular, I would find, is very important, but it's probably the one that most of you resist the most. Because this foundation is one that, this one, if sometimes it hurts. This foundation, sometimes it doesn't work out the way that you expected it to work out. See, some of us walk in the church and we think, if I can just get to God, I'll begin this relationship with God, and it will be just me and God, and then everything will be great. Except there's a problem. Christianity is a team sport. Christianity is meant to be done with others. So the foundation that we're talking about today is spiritual family. Everybody say spiritual family. Talking about spiritual family. Now listen, before I even get into this, I know, this is what some of you are probably thinking. Pastor, I've been hurt. Welcome to the club. Pastor, I trusted people in church and they let me down. I want to talk about these things. I want to address these things, because even you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. God called us to live in spiritual family with one another. And there are so many blessings and benefits that come from living in spiritual family with one another. And there is nothing more that the enemy would love to do than to plant seeds of bitterness and mistrust to keep you isolated from the very thing that God wants to bring blessing into your life with. So, I know this. I want you to, as you hear this message, I want you to hear it with an open mind. I want you to hear it with an untainted view of things. I want you to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Word of God speak to you and see how we can live this out. And again, if you would say, Pastor, I've been hurt in churches before, I can promise you, you've been hurt out of churches before as well. It's not church that hurt you. It's people that hurt you. We're going to unpack this. Now, for some of you, this concept of spiritual family is a new term. It's a new term. You've never heard it before. If you're new to the faith, or even if you've, depending on your denominational background, this is not something that you've heard often used. But this concept of spiritual family, I assure you, is biblical. See, for many people, when you hear the word church, you think church means building. This is just the building. That's all this is. 100 years from now, if our church is not meeting here, this building can be turned into something else. This is just, as a matter of fact, our Savior's church began in that building right back there. And you want to know what that building used to be? A honky tonk. There was a horse trough where in the men's bathroom. There were lots of ungodly things that we found in the ceiling tiles. The church is not the building. The building is the building. Others of you think the church is an event. Church is an event that happens on Sunday. The church is not an event. As a matter of fact, I love the way that Dr. Scott Adams, our Midtown campus pastor, he wrote in the gold book that he wrote, he said this, "The local church is not a building that we go to, but a spiritual family that we belong to." Let me read that again. The local church is not a building that we go to, but a spiritual family that we belong to. And speaking of the Gold Book, listen, we talk about this every week. I encourage you, if you've not been through the Gold Book, go pick one up in a foyer right after service and find someone to walk with you to take you through this Gold Book. Because this series and that gold book really go hand in hand. Because what we're doing is building solid foundations. Building the authority of the word of God in our lives. So that we realize that what's happening in the world is shifting and changing. But the word of God never changes and it's the final authority. And so I encourage you, go pick up one of those gold books after service. But I want to go back to our foundational text for a moment. This is the text we've been using in scripture that we've been laying this foundation. Again, the birth of the early church in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says this. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Let me stop right there. Again, Peter preached, 3,000 people got born again. This is how they responded. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which is the word of God, and to fellowship. And to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So we're going to lump in two of these things that they just talked about because they're really synonymous. They're really closely tied together. They devoted themselves to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper. It means that they were together. They did life together. They spent quality time with one another. They ate meals together. Come on, Cajuns. They had crawfish boils. Not really, but in my mind, they had crawfish boils. They argued about who had the best boudin in town. I'm not going to tell you who mine is, but anyway, I'll keep going. I will lose some of y'all's respect. I want to keep going, though, for a moment, because right after that passage, they start to expound upon the life of the early church and how they lived, and it's really going to tie into what I'm talking about. Verse 43 says this, "A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." This was a picture, a snapshot of how the early church lived. And as I mentioned, church is not simply a building. As a matter of fact, the word church is really, it's the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia. And that word means assembly or congregation. So from the very beginning, the church was not meant to be the building because they didn't have a building. The church was a congregation. It was an assembly. It was a gathering of people together. It was the ekklesia, the church. The church. So the church is the people. And it is the family of God that is brought together. See, from the book of Acts, what God has been doing is you had the Jewish people and they were God's chosen people. And then God opened it up and the Gentiles were able to come in, and that's us. And we all joined together. What God was saying was almost as if he was saying, I'm gathering my family together. I'm going to call my people from all over the world to come together as a family with Jesus Christ as the head of the church. See, there are people here, though, that even you may attend church, you may even be a member of the church, but you're not a member of the spiritual family. You're not a member of the body of Christ. You're not a member, really, of the church in the real sense of the word, just because you sign your name on a document. That does not make you a member of the ecclesia, of the church. That makes you a part of an organization. See, in order for you to be a real member of the church, you have to be born again. And this is a mystical kind of thing, that you can be born again in this service. I'm going to give you that opportunity at the end of service. You can be born again, and instantly you have a brother in India. Instantly you have brothers and sisters in Ethiopia and in Europe and in all over, even in Baton Rouge. Where they put tomatoes in their gumbo. All right. But it's not your name being on a roll that makes you a member of the church. It's when you're born again and brought into the kingdom of God. And Jesus becomes the Lord of your life. Why am I telling you this? Because I know, I come from different denominational backgrounds and the whole thing. Sometimes we're taught things that aren't biblical. And there are times that we think that if I just sign my name on a church roll, I'm going to heaven. That's not the case. If I show up at the event of church on Sunday mornings, then that everything is okay in my life. That's not the case. You have to be born again to be a part of the church, of his church, the one in which he's going to bring into heaven one day. So this is very important and foundational for you to understand. God has called us to be a spiritual family with a bunch of people who were saved by grace through faith. By God's grace through faith and what Jesus Christ did for us. Y'all with me this morning? Now, for some of you, on the other hand, you are born again. But for whatever reason, you've opted out of receiving the blessings of being in spiritual family. You're born again. You're going to heaven. You're a part of the bigger sense of the church. God loves you. You're saved. You're going to heaven. But the problem is you're missing out on all of the blessings that are a part of being in spiritual family. And those are the things I want to address and talk about this morning. Because you can be in something and miss out on it at the same time. You can be close to something and never receive the benefits of it. It's like having, we've talked about this, used this analogy many times, like having a present but not opening it. You have it, it's right there, it's still in the package. Man, I wish I had this, I wish I had this, and it's right there wrapped up. That's what spiritual family is for many of you. You attend the event of the church, but you don't allow yourself to give your heart to the body of church. There's so many blessings that are attached to this. And you were never intended to walk this Christian journey out by yourself. Well, Pastor, it's just me and Jesus. It's me and the good Lord. We got I don't need the church. I hear from God on my own just fine. Well, let me ask you, how's that working out? I can tell you how it's working out. Not well. You may think you're doing just fine, but it's a shame when you live an unchallenged life. a shame when you have no one there who you can lean on and trust in and depend on. Well, I've been hurt by people. Again, welcome to the club. But there's so many more blessings that come with opening your heart to the people that God has given you to and given them to you. One of the toughest parts of COVID and the quarantine was the separation from each other. That's why I say what I say when I stand up here sometimes. Never take this for granted, because for months we didn't have this. And as a pastor, it's hard watching people who you know you've loved and you've invested in, who did not have the connection of spiritual family, falling further and further away from their devotion to Jesus. Everything, all of the messages, all of the small groups, all of the connection, just the isolation alone caused them to open up a door for the enemy to just arrow after arrow after arrow in their minds. That's what happens when we're isolated from the body. That's what happens when we're separated. And I've used this analogy before, and it just comes to mind. I remember growing up with my grandfather, I would watch National Geographic. Some of y'all remember those, like the National Geographic shows, and you see in Africa, they're on safaris, and always, you know, you wonder, how did they get that close to the lion where he's attacking something and not them? Like, how does that work? But I remember seeing those things, and it was the lion attacking the antelope. And if you would notice, he would never attack a group of antelope. What he would do is he would wait for the one to get left behind from the pack, and then he'd grab that one. This is what the Bible says about the devil. He roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And just like a lion, the ones that he devours are often the ones who are isolated from their strength. Isolated from one another. If he can get you in your head all by yourself with no one speaking truth to you, he's got you. He's got you. That's why we need spiritual family. Even with social media out there, during the COVID and the quarantine and doing all of that stuff, even with social media, it was not the same. It was not the same. You can have, as a matter of fact, that became even more toxic for many of you. And I'm grateful we've had this 21-day fast. As a matter of fact, that 21-day fast is ending today. But I'm not sure I'm even going to get back on it. It's been really nice without it. Let me just say this too, kind of quoting Pastor Chris Hodges. If any of you aren't, and this is for those who are listening online, if you aren't going to church because of health reasons, we get it. We understand. Stay safe. I mean that. But if you're at home because of convenience, it's time to come back home. It's time to come back home. Now, what I'm talking about again is this morning, it can make or break the faith of many of our people. God, he left you here for a reason. What do I mean by that? When you got born again, many of us, I did, I was like, Lord, I might mess this up. Please just take me home now. But he didn't. He left me here because he gave me a mission. Each and every one of you, God has left you where you're at because he's given you influence, a realm of authority wherever you're at. That now that you're born again, you've gone from death to life. God wants to use that influence that he's given you in your realm of influence. So your responsibility is to take his kingdom and to spread it wherever you go. Right? And so there are people that you can reach that I could never reach. There are people that you have influence with, I will never have influence with. And the call of God on your life is to follow Jesus. And in following Jesus, it's to do what Jesus did and spread his kingdom wherever you have influence. So God does not necessarily want you to cut out every relationship in your life that's not in church. He may not necessarily want you to come and work for a church, because he wants you to do his work in your realm. And that's important for you to know. But there comes a moment for a Christian that you are still in the world, but you're no longer of the world. So there has to be a heart separation from you and those people who were once influencing you. There has to be some space, even if it's just in your heart, and it may even flesh itself out physically, where you're no longer allowing the people who are still living in the lifestyle that you came out of to influence you. You have to stop that. You have to distance yourself from that influence. Because I've seen it over and over again, not only in young people, in adults. The very thing that tugs on them and pulls them away from God are all of the negative voices about God that they have left in their life. My pastor says it this way: you show me your five closest relationships and I'll show you your destiny. I'll show you the trajectory that you're going on based upon the people that you've allowed yourself to be surrounded by. That's why spiritual family is so important. Because spiritual family takes the place of all of those old relationships that were once pulling you down. Now you have relationships pulling you closer to Jesus. So what does spiritual family look like? I want to just give you four things that spiritual family looks like. Number one, it looks like spending time with each other. Spending time with each other. Verse 46 in Acts chapter 2 says this: they worshiped together in the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper. Every day they were together. Every day. In real relationships, you make time for one another. When you have a genuine relationship, it takes time to build that relationship, and that relationship gives itself to one another, which means I have to give that relationship time. These believers spent quality time together with one another. So when you think church is an event on Sundays, then you can pass by one another and wave and go, hey, good to see y'all. God bless you, okay? God bless you. You be blessed. What's your name? I don't know. But when you realize that you are the church, you stay connected to one another because that's your family. You take the time to get to know their name. You take the time to get to know something about them. Why? Because you're family. And that takes spending time with one another. So do you spend time with other believers? And when you do, it sharpens you. When you do, it sharpens you. See, believers become your influence, not the people that you've left behind. Well, Pastor, I'm too busy. I got so much going on. I got work and I got kids and I got all of this stuff. If you're too busy for family, then your priorities are out of whack. Can I just be your pastor and tell you the truth? If you are too busy for the family that God has called you to, you are too busy. See, when you think that this is just a good idea and that maybe I'll kind of give some time to spiritual family, that's the wrong mindset. But when you realize this is spiritual family, it's a necessity. It's a necessity. You don't want to be out there on your own. You don't want to. And we all are busy. I get it. There's 1,000 people in this church. I got 3 kids. They're all girls. I understand busy. But spiritual family is a priority. Because I need spiritual family, and spiritual family needs me. This is cyclical. I feed, I'm able to give out, and I'm able to receive, and give out and receive. And before you know it, when you live your life that way, you start to find a new source of strength. You start to see that this is not just a good idea. This is a necessity for me. Number two, what does spiritual family look like? Looks like it looks like enjoying each other. Enjoying each other. Says that they met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals. Listen to this: with great joy and generosity. With great joy and with generosity. Some of you may be thinking, Pastor, let's just be honest. I don't want to spend time with these church people because they're boring and they're weird. Can we just be honest? Like, those church people, like, if you're saying I have to have that to go to heaven, I'll think about it. See, spiritual family is just like, it's just like a family. It's just like a legitimate family. See, you have some family members that you cannot wait to see. You cannot wait to be around. And you have other family members that when you bring guests over, you have to explain them. You bring them to the house and you say, okay, that's my cousin Terry. Don't give him money. Don't make eye contact. You'll be fine. That's family. That's family. When you have like-minded people and like-minded goals, you'll find a new source of joy in your life. You may not connect with every person in this church. That's okay. But you're family with every believer in this church. And you're going to find people who you do like. You're going to find people that you are connected to. You're going to find people, listen, not just that like you and that you like them, but that appropriately challenge you to be a better believer. They're going to challenge you to go after God. And you're going to enjoy being around them. And you're going to find yourself having fun. Listen, I have friends that are next to my wife and my kids. One of the greatest joys in my life are my Christian friends. My brothers and sisters in Christ who bring me joy. Who I go duck hunting with. Who I hang out with. Who I pick up the phone. We watch movies together. We have date nights together. We have game nights together. Shout out to James and Candy Bertrand. Those are the types of relationships that you need and you want because it brings you joy. God does not want just people in your life so that you're miserable. He puts people in your life so that you can feel connected and find joy in Him with them. God wants you to enjoy being with one another. I have friends that I can call and celebrate when things are going well. That's a blessing. To not have something amazing happen in your life and have no one to share that with. They help me be more like Christ. I find great joy in just being around them. And when I'm struggling, they're there. Some of you right now are struggling because you're lonely. You're questioning God going, I don't know if this Jesus thing is working. When the truth is, He's got the answer sitting next to you and you just haven't engaged it. The very thing that you need to get out of the funk that you're in, it's been sitting around you every single Sunday, but you refuse to engage them, so you stayed in that funk. God gives us spiritual family as a gift. So I encourage you very practically, listen, go out and eat with one another. Go out and break bread together. Go have some fun with the people in this room. Listen, we built all kind of stuff here at the church, courtyards and all of this stuff for that very purpose. So you had a place to connect with one another. So that you didn't just hear the message, okay, good, got it, Pastor, I'm going. Come back next Sunday, okay, got it, I'm going. But you get to meet one another and connect with one another. And build a sense of family and community and relationship. Because that's the way God intended it. Y'all with me this morning? Number three, what does spiritual family do? Seeking God with each other. That's what it looks like. Seeking God with one another. Verse 47 says, and all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. There's so much power in our worship services. When we come together and we worship, that's not just the moment for us to be entertained. That's not, we need to fill up some space so we got some good singers kind of entertain you a little bit. That's not what that is. When we worship together, I want you to view it the proper way. This is God's family coming together to one place to sing songs of worship to their king. They have one king together. That is a supernatural and powerful thing. When we lift up our voices all together with one voice, one song of praise. Some of you are really good singers. Some of you not so much. But we're lifting him up, and it's a sweet smelling incense to heaven. God can look down and go, that's my family. That's what I intended. My family there with clean hearts, clean hands worshiping me. It's a thing of beauty, supernatural. It's a spiritual family. Spiritual family pushes you closer to God. Why? Because Jesus is at the center of your relationship. That's why. See, when I counsel couples that are getting ready to get married, some of which are in this room, when I counsel couples, I tell them this. I tell them, listen, you are a three-strand cord. And according to the Bible, a three-strand cord is not easily broken. It's you, it's your spouse, and at the very center of it all, you have Jesus interwound in every area of that relationship. That's true in healthy marriages, and that's true in spiritual family. When Jesus is at the center of your relationship, it actually makes things easier. It makes things less complicated. Why? Because him being in the center of it will cause you to do the right thing when you don't want to. Because you fear him. Because you love him. Listen, there have been plenty of times that I've apologized to my wife, that I've apologized to my brothers and sisters in Christ, not because I was convinced that it was all my fault, but because I knew that what was more important to him was that that relationship was made right. So you need to let spiritual family push you, cause you to be closer to him, because that's what is there. It's all of us together going, come on, we're going to our king. Come on, we're going to live this thing holy. We're going to live right. We're going to honor him with our lives. And some of you are resisting that, but that's the thing that you need to go to the next level. That's the thing that you need in order to break through some of these areas. Pastor, I don't want anybody knowing my business. Your business is jacked up. Somebody needs to know it. Somebody needs to get in there and go, bro, I love you. But if you don't stop talking to that woman like that, listen, I know you love your kids, but you're not supposed to use that language with them. I'm not saying that you can't do this and do this and do that. I'm not your judge. I'm not trying to do that. But you told me you wanted this, and what you're doing is taking you this way. I don't want anybody to know my business. Then keep doing it on your own. But I can assure you, you will not get what you want if you keep doing it on your own. We need us. We need one another. We need spiritual family. And it is a risk. I get it. I understand. But the risk is worth it. It's worth it. So I ask you, do you pray with your friends? The friends in your life right now, do you pray with them? Do you have people that you can text when you're afraid, that you can be vulnerable with and go, I know I'm not supposed to walk in fear, but all of the stuff that's going on has got me a little rattled. Will you just pray with me? Do you have people like that in your life? Do you have people that you can say, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. I need someone. Will you just join with me and pray? Will you help me? Will you be there? And not, listen, I'm not advocating for us to be codependent. It's not what I'm talking about. See, these are the extremes that we fall on one of these extremes. I'm either going to be independent, which means I don't need anybody. Or we lean on this side of I'm codependent and I want everybody to do everything for me. But biblically speaking, we need to be interdependent, meaning that we depend on one another, but we still carry our own responsibilities. We still take care of what God has given us to do. Man, I I'm sorry, I'm passionate about this because this is important for you, church. This is so important for you. Number four, and last one. What does spiritual family look like? It looks like caring for each other. It looks like caring for each other. Verse 44. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Pastor, you saying we got to sell all our property and get? I'm not telling you to do that. The Holy Spirit does, just tithe. But even in the Old Testament, in the book of Acts, they met in homes. That meant that some of them kept their homes. Okay, so let's not go, this was not like a commune. This was not communism, okay? This was having a shared heart, a shared purpose in meeting the needs of one another, helping one another under the umbrella of Jesus Christ as Lord. Are y'all with me? Spiritual family cares for one another. And that does not, I don't mean that in simply the passive sense. I mean that in the active sense. Meaning I'm not just talking about, yeah, I love you. I have warm and fuzzies for you. Caring for you means when you have a need and I can meet that need, I'm going to help you meet that need. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to help you. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 15. It says, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who are weeping. See, it's an amazing thing when you have spiritual family that, like I mentioned earlier, you can celebrate when things are going good without fear that they're there to compete with you. Sometimes we just all need a safe place to be able to say, this just happened and it was amazing, without having someone in your life go, yeah, but this happened to me and it was better. Spiritual family should not compete with one another. Because we all have the same goal, stand before him and hear him say, well done. That's our goal. There should be no competition with us. We all need, and if you do that, let me just tell you, just stop. Just stop. If someone comes and they're celebrating what God did in their life, don't get jealous of them. Celebrate them so that when God does it in your life, they can celebrate with you. Rejoice with them, but also grieve with them. When they're grieving and they're hurting, grieve with them. Hurt with them. A little over a year ago, a very precious woman in our church, who was very dear to me, very dear to my wife, very dear to many of you in this building today, died pretty suddenly. Went into the hospital, and within a week's time, she was gone. She was gone. And I remember walking with her in that process, and I remember seeing her small group around her. And let me just tell you, they didn't leave her side that week that she was in that hospital. She was able to give the control of what was going to happen with her and her estate, whatever finances she had, to someone in her spiritual family to watch over it. When she died, one of the elders in our church had been there with her and prayed with her that day, went home, felt a tug from the Holy Spirit to come back, went right back and was there to pray with her as she was passing on into eternity. Talking about spiritual family, talking about that small group that she was a part of, were able to grab a hold of her husband, who was just bewildered by what was going on, help him move out of his house, move into a new stable environment, help them get their finances and things stabilized. Why did they do that? Because they a government program? No, because they're the body of Christ and they saw a person in need and they're a family and they were gonna meet that need. See, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about people that just tell you what to do. I'm talking about a family that will help you. Stop trying to do this by yourself. You can't. I'm a self-made man. No such thing. There's no such thing. Sometimes we don't need to meet people's physical needs. Sometimes we just need to let them know, as you go through this, I'm going to be here with you. lost someone that you love, you don't have to go through this alone. I'm going to be calling you and checking on you. I'm going to be there for you. I was speaking recently with a very well-known pastor, and he was sharing with me. He said, I went through one of the darkest times in my life, and every day there's two people that called me and checked on me. Every day. That's family. Sometimes you just need to let them know that you're there. Also, spiritual family sacrifices for one another, and I'm almost done. We do. We sacrifice for one another. And I get it. Some of you are saying, Pastor, I don't want to give to people because I don't want to be used. I've been used before. I don't want to give somebody something and they're just going to keep calling me all the time for something. Listen, I get it. And as a matter of fact, I want to address this in this room, and I've addressed this before. If you are here and you are the type of person who just says, I need money, I need you to help me, I need you to hit me, they should not help you if you're not willing to cut off your own cable. Can I say that? If you're not willing to make necessary changes in your own life, do not expect the body of Christ to come in and rescue you. You have a responsibility. The Bible says if a man does not work, he does not eat. That's biblical. This is what the Apostle Paul says about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 10, it says, even while we were with you, we gave you this command. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Yet, we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work. And listen, it's one thing if you lost your job. Listen, I get it. If you're looking for one, praise God. We're going to stand there and be with you. But if you're sitting back going, I just don't, whatever. They got it. This is verses for you. This verse is for you. Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business. We command such people and urge them in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. As for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, listen to me. This does not let us off the hook, because listen to this. Never get tired of doing good. Yeah, you've been used before. I get it. But how many people have you blessed? How many people have you helped? Maybe pay attention to that more so than the ones who squandered your blessing. Because we're still responsible to do good. Don't grow weary in well-doing, church. Care for one another. Be there for one another. Help one another. So what does spiritual family look like? And I'm closing. It looks like spending time with each other, enjoying each other, seeking God with each other, and caring for each other. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, I thank you. Thank you for this glorious thing called the ecclesia, the church. It is your kingdom in all the earth. It is your rulership, your lordship in all of the earth. They are the same. And you are our king. So Lord, there's people in this place who bow their knee to you and you are their Lord. But Lord, they have not experienced the blessings of what it means to be in family. I pray that today these words will have opened up their eyes to see what they've been missing. For those who've been hurt, who were once a part of a thriving family, but they've pulled away, God, I pray that you would give them the grace to trust again. Give them the grace to take the risk that they need to again so that they can find what they're looking for. I pray for those with malicious intent, you would weed them out. You would weed them out. You would judge it. And you would allow this to be a family, a healthy spiritual family that thrives, that meets the needs of one another, and that answers your prayer, Jesus. You prayed that your disciples would be one. Before you went to the cross, that was the real Lord's Prayer. That was your prayer, that your followers would be one. I pray you would do that in us. Make us one. If you're here today and you would say, Pastor Gabe, you're talking about spiritual family and all of that is good and I want that. But the truth is I can't have that because I'm not born again. I'm not a Christian. And I don't mean that in the cultural sense. I'm not talking about your religious activities. As I mentioned before, you are saved by grace through faith. You have to be born again. Jesus said it this way, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you're first born again. You cannot enter into his kingdom, his rulership, the church, unless you're born again. It's not about shaking a preacher's hand. It's not about even saying some words. It's about a moment where you give up control and you allow him to be the Lord of your life. And when you do that, he forgives you of your sins. He washes you clean. He gives you a brand new start and he gives you a brand new family. It's all part of it. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to release that control. I want to be born again. I want to be a new creation. I want to lead you in a prayer. And let me just tell you, this process is an easy process. It's as easy as ABC. A, you admit that you're a sinner. You admit the truth that I'm not hiding anything. I'm not covering anything anymore. I'm in sin and I'm far from God. And there's rebellion in my heart towards him. Every time you sin, that's what that is. It's rebellion in your heart towards God. B, you believe what? That the solution to that problem was Jesus Christ dying on the cross for you. And C, you confess. Confess that he is now the Lord of your life. And that word Lord is like saying he's the boss. He calls the shots. He's the leader. I am giving up control. I'm repenting of my sin. And that word repent means to turn and go in the opposite direction. I'm turning and he is now the Lord of my life. If that's you, you say, Pastor, I want to be born again today. I want to lead you in a prayer. But first I want to acknowledge who I'm praying with. So on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to just lift up your hand if that's you. No one looking around. This is between you and the Lord. One, two, three. That's you. Lift it up. Thank you. See your hand. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, I want to be born again. Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand. You can put them down. Savior's Church, let's pray this prayer out loud together. This is nothing magical about our words. This is a surrendered heart meeting the grace of God. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe on the cross you died for my sin, my guilt, and my shame. I believe you faced hell for me so I would not have to go. And you rose again from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So I turn away from my sin. I repent of my sin. And I'm following you. And from this moment on, God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. Holy Spirit is my helper. Heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name. Amen.